Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
All right, here we go, Primetime Titans. It's JG, and I got Robert, and I have Michael with us again. It's just three of us tonight. It's been a little bit. The last time we recorded was we got Bill Callahan, Denard Wilson, I think it was Tyke Tolbert. I think he had been hired at that point. Still figuring out the coaching staff. The Senior Bowl in Mobile was happening. There were things that were just going on. There's been the NFL Combine. Free agency is about to start up. I mean, it's to a point where, you know, obviously some things have happened, but you get to that point where you're like, oh my gosh, Super Bowl's over, football's done, and then the new league year starts up. And honestly, the new league year and the draft, I absolutely love it. So I just want an initial, how are y'all feeling, thoughts going into free agency? Robert, I'll start with you. I mean, the draft is coming up too. So, I mean, you could potentially, like, free agency, who knows? Maybe, I don't know. I just want to see how you're doing. Robert, what's going on? How are we feeling about the Titans?
I would say overall, I feel like we are in a complete reset. Not just organizationally, but mentally, emotionally, as a fan, that's where I'm at. It's like it's a complete, everything you knew about the Titans for the last 6 years, we got to recalibrate. Everything we knew about the Mike Vrabel-led Titans, the J-Rob Titans, that's all gone. That's no longer the case. The Titans, even the Mike Munchak Titans, the Mike Mularkey Titans, it doesn't feel, from what the little things we've seen on Callahan and Ran, and it just, and I, this may not, in a year from now, I may not agree with this take, but this is just the original feel. It just feels like a brand new leaf. A totally new direction. It's refreshing. It's also very nebulous. I don't know what we're going to do in free agency. I don't know what we're going to do in the draft. I don't know the tendencies of our head coach and our GM like I did the other guys. And it's exciting, but it is a little bit. It feels like a lot of work is ahead for the fans who are really plugged in and follow this team on a day-to-day basis to understand the mindset of our leaders now and what the culture is going to be. So all that to say, I'm feeling like I'm sort of starting from square one, like as a fan to try to think like this team. I feel like I had gotten, you know, almost an advanced degree in Titans thinking, you know, over the last 6 years under Vrabel. And I feel like I've got a completely new textbook, a new class that I'm in day one. So that plus my massive, massive draft crush on Brock Bowers that we can dive into later. That's where I am today.
Michael, how are you feeling?
The familiar feeling of an early March hope inside of your heart. There's so many possibilities out there. I think the thing that I keep trying to remind myself is this is a multi-year project. And I think more so than anything on the business under the hood, the Titans have decided to completely restructure the way that the actual foundational business is run. Listeners, if you're out there, there is a posted data analyst job for the Tennessee Titans out there right now. If you are a entry-level data analyst and you have a heart for football, I encourage you to apply. But that is a whole new leaf for this organization, for one that did not embrace analytics and really didn't find itself in the modern day workings of the NFL. And I find myself in this point in the year kind of reflecting back, and I've been one to kind of stick up for J-Rob, but now seeing how much Vrabel and J-Rob were like kind of lockstep in misleading this team, I'm super excited that somebody is being the adult in the room. And maybe that is Miss Amy, maybe that's Saran, whoever it is, the business side of the organization is moving forward. But it seems like we've like led up to this year being such a generational draft class in terms of certain talents that as we find ourselves approaching free agency, I'm totally confused as to whether or not I want us to, you know, have the gut reaction of fixing everything immediately in this 1 week of off season versus playing the multi-year rebuild. But I think from what we've heard from everybody from the organization is that very much so they view Will Levis as our franchise QB. So I think my metric for this season is still unlocking Will Levis as much as possible. So in the terms of the construction of free agency into this off season, I think everything in terms of what I would want as a fan is only making him actually be that franchise quarterback, because I do think that is the key to it all. So my eye towards free agency and the draft all focuses around that and solely that.
Love that. I think that's ultimately the right way to go. And, you know, unless somehow Titans just are in the Russell Wilson, you know, maybe they're in that sort of stage where we think Russell Wilson's the answer. If that's the case, then we got to build around Russell Wilson. I'm completely joking right now. I hope y'all don't think I'm actually serious. y'all weren't really saying anything or reacting a certain way. I almost was worried y'all thought I was completely dead serious. And I just stumped the Brown boys right there. I had them in an absolute pretzel.
Well, let's put it this way. If Will Levis isn't the guy, we're going to be redoing this episode in 2 years, 3 years.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. And who knows? Russell Wilson might still be out there at that time.
He's available.
I mean, I will say, just to kind of go into our first sort of part of the episode, we want to talk about some guys that are going to be free agents from the Titans that we either would want back or, you know, might have to just part ways with. Basically just go over some people that we think maybe it's time or we got to bring them back. So I'm going to go over some names here, and I want to hear from y'all on maybe some names that stick out or people that, you know, maybe they stick out because you want them back. They stick out because you don't care if they leave. But here are some of the names. We talked about quarterback position. Ryan Tannehill. He's going to be a free agent. Derrick Henry. You might know Derrick Henry. Danico Autry. Azeez Alshire. Aaron Brewer. Sean Murphy Bunting. Terrell Edmonds. A fan favorite from last year, Christian Fulton. Chris Moore. Chris Hubbard, he was a serviceable tackle for us last year. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Robert, we know he's your favorite. Travis Gibson, a D-end. Trayvon Wesco, Corey Levin. You know, we're starting to get into the ones that kind of didn't really see as much. I will say a name to mention, though, Kevon Wallace, Julius Chestnut, Jack Gibbons. There were actually a few more names I wanted to mention. But out of those guys, I feel like, maybe who are some guys that stick out that you are thinking, you know, you're good with leaving, and at this point, we're all good with it. Michael, what do you think? Maybe you want to go the other direction. If you think there were guys that stuck out to you first, if you want to keep them, I'm all ears.
The only former Titans that we're looking at re-signing that I would look at with a real intention would be Danico Autry. And that comes with the caveat that he's old. He's 33 years old, but he still has been producing. And I think he was one of the most surprising Titans to me last season. And I would like to see him retire a Titan, because I feel like he was still a high motor guy on a team where he had little to play for. And I do think he is a consummate pro inside of that. I sadly would move on from Derrick Henry.
What's it? Wait, real quick. What's a number that you'd take Derrick back?
I would take Derek back at anything below $5 million a year.
Okay. Yeah. I think we could do that.
I think his incentive, if he was going to stay a Titan, his incentive is legacy, right?
Right.
He's definitely not going to win a title. He's, you know, unless he sticks around for the 3 years when we're, you know, closing out of that. But it would be to be the greatest Titan running back that ever was. And potentially going back to the Oilers where he could overtake Earl as well. So what else would be his incentive in that, I guess, would be my thought.
I'm actually kind of – it's a weird feeling that I have with Derrick Henry where I'm like – We've done this before. We've compared things to dating and relationships. I think we did a Jarrell Casey relationship comparison one time. I almost feel like I knew a breakup was coming and I've been prepping for the breakup. And now if the breakup doesn't happen, it's like, oh.
Cool. Yeah. And the Titans pushed.
I feel weird saying that.
The Titans pushed the breakup. Like,
yes.
His last game, going to the middle of the field, the fans chanting his name, the thank you, Derek video. Like,
I think he gave a farewell speech.
Yeah. So I think the only way it happens is if his market is significantly less than anyone thought going into it from his representation side than anybody thought going into the offseason. And that may happen. I mean, there's a lot of good running backs out there who are free agents. And if I'm ranking running backs, I don't know that I'm putting Derek in the top five of those running backs. And so is he going to get the contract that he wants? I don't know that he is.
Yeah.
I just don't see how in a Brian Callahan offense, you can put Derek Henry on the field without telegraphing what you're going to do. I don't see how you can take Tyjae off the field, put Derek in, and then not telegraph what you're doing.
Yeah, Tyjae is a big piece of it because I really want to see what he can do as an RB1. I think he's got a lot of talent and skill. So you do take him off the field, but I'd be lying if the legacy doesn't entice me. And, you know, watching him play in another jersey is going to be really difficult.
Yeah,
that's actually what – go ahead, Michael.
For him as a person, for Derek, and also as the player, I would love for him to go, you know – if not us, win a ring for somebody else.
What I don't want to see is him go to like Pittsburgh and go 8-9.
I actually saw just before this, it was like a tweet or an Instagram post by a realtor who posted a closing picture with Derrick Henry. And I don't know if it's like he's doing this on purpose, but he said, I just closed a house, like the biggest house of my career for the biggest person of my career. And the location was Dallas, Texas. So it could be that it was a different location to throw people off. And it actually was in Baltimore or something like that. But that is something to potentially monitor. I think we can go on and on about Derrick Henry. If he does end up leaving, we need to give him a little tribute. I think at the end of the day, we've said our piece with Derrick Henry. I think Tyjae Spears, I want to see him as the featured running back to where, as crazy as it sounds, I love Derrick Henry. I've loved him as a Titan, wanted him as a Titan forever. The way that the last few months have happened about like prepping for him to leave, I'm almost ready for it. So it's that weird.
That's the short list of the people that I would really want back. Aziz for me is.
That was my next one to ask.
It's intriguing, but I think I don't know. He's definitely has played himself into a higher paying contract. The question is, how much is it going to be? And he has clear connections to other teams, whether it be the 49ers or anybody that's going to pay for his production.
Texans.
That has also been rumored for him. That I just don't see. I don't see the value with where we're currently at. I would rather go younger at that position, mainly because I find there's a lot of value inside of an inside linebacker like him. Like Aziz was an undrafted player that ended up being great. But in terms of draft value, I think it's going to be better to go younger and more athletically talented than it is to try and re-sign that position and add that back in.
He's only 26, Aziz. I don't know if that's That's like middle of the road.
I'm in free agency. I just don't think we're there yet with the pieces. Like if we were closer and we were looking for those last pieces, then it would be a different scenario. But
that's
being that this is not going to really be a contender season and next season's going to be the real push. I don't see the value in the money personally.
If we bring back Ryan Tannehill, I might stop being a Titans fan.
We're gonna lose Robert.
Okay, Robert, what's your number? What's the number
for Tanny?
Yeah,
I think it's zero. I think it's literally
he's not paying us. He better be paying us money back.
Are there any other Titans that are?
That
you would be
Tevin Gibson. He flashed a little bit last year for me. I like him. He's probably not going to command a lot on the open market. Like you could get him on most likely the veteran minimum, maybe a little bit more, $1 million.
I should add in there Kevon Wallace, the safety.
Yes, who has Kevon time. Wallace would be solid.
Yeah.
One more, Sean Murphy Bunting. What do you think?
Yeah, that's one. So we got to get a corner in my mind in free agency because I don't want to get a corner in the draft. Let me take that back. I don't want to get a first round corner. And so I think we got to spend up, which I hate doing in free agency. I hate spending a lot of money and being the market setter, but we're just in that position where if we don't, I mean, it's going to be horrendous if we don't get a CB1 in free agency in my mind. So maybe that's Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, there's some other names we can talk about out there, but I thought he played well and I like his competitiveness. Christian Fulton, man, he's just had such an up and down tenure here. Another J-Rob high draft pick that we are not going to be most likely re-signing. And the list of the first, second, and third round draft picks that we don't re-sign that J-Rob picked is just way too long. And that's why we're in the position where we're in, frankly, in my mind. So I don't think he's coming back. And just disappointing. I think he's one of those guys in 2 or 3 years we could look up and he's playing at like a second team all pro level when he leaves the Titans. I mean, how many times have we seen that? A guy who just had an up and down start to his career goes somewhere else and plays really well. That's kind of the fear I have, but I don't know that he's going to really, is he going to improve as a Titan? I don't know if we bring him back, if he will. So I'm really on the fence on Christian Fulton as well.
He's an interesting case because he's a person that got into Vrabel's doghouse and he was one of the three that got called out specifically by Vrabel. And the interesting thing is I thought he would persevere in a contract year and kind of come above and get above that, but it didn't necessarily turn out. So I do question because there were periods of time where he's shown that he has in a certain secondary and a certain defense that he could be a great player. However, Denard Wilson saying they really want to be an attacking secondary and really be aggressive, I don't necessarily think that suits his skill set.
That's more Sean Murphy Bunting than it is Christian Fulton.
Yeah. So, you know, but however, I do think it's going to be surprising that I don't think somebody's going to give Christian Fulton a big contract because I do think he got caught up in a bad year. So if anybody were to come back, and weirdly, I would say it's actually going to be Christian Fulton, mainly because he's probably going to be shocked to learn what his market value truly is.
Maybe like was it David Long who thought he was going to go out and get a lot of money and then came back to us on like a 1 year, $5 million deal before eventually going to the Dolphins? Or was that Jayon? I think that was Jayon Brown, actually. Jayon tested free agency and then came back for a 1 year, $5 million deal. Yeah. The other guy that I do not want back under any circumstances, unless he's paying us, is NWI. JG, you mentioned it. It's not the guy's fault, but when we threw him the football on third downs, when we had AJ Brown on the other side of the field, I mean, I just wanted to pull my hair out. Not to mention the playoff game against the Bengals, NWI is double covered and Tannehill forces it in there and it bounces off his chest when he's got Anthony Firkser and AJ wide open. I don't know. Maybe I blamed MWI unfairly, but I just am so sick of our blocking wide receivers getting unnecessarily too many targets. And I just, who I love to have back is Chris Moore.
I was just about to say
that guy, he was a role player, but he knew his job. And if he threw it to him too much, he would go back and say, "Stop throwing me the football. We got DeAndre Hopkins on our team." NWI did not know his role.
He'd go back and he'd say, "No more, no more."
Yeah, he said, "I had my one catch. I did a great job. I'm wearing these sleeves and I look a little ridiculous. And my job's to dig out the safety on the run. Stop throwing me the football, Will Levis. Throw it to DeAndre 17 times a game. That's what you need to do."
Vrabel's no longer here, but I think you got to get rid of NWI and Aaron Brewer just to make sure.
Yes. Yeah, you got to cleanse. Just do everything you can.
I think, I would say in terms of Robert, the guys that you don't want back, I would say I'm kind of in agreement. I think, Michael, I'm in disagreement in the sense of like, it's not just Denico Autry and Kayvon Wallace that I'd want back. I think I actually would want Azeez and Sean Murphy Bunting back.
And we have so much money. We're going to have to bring someone back. Like, we're going to be bringing some guys back.
Yeah. I think the bottom line is, I think, we've talked about some guys that were Titans recently that we either are fine with leaving or want them back. We can move on now to, talking about actually positions of need and
players. Wait, real quick. One more guy I want to talk on. Aaron Brewer.
Okay.
We know he's terrible. But if we cut him, that's $13 million on the cap, dead cap. Okay?
Andre Dillard is who you're talking about.
Oh, who'd I say?
Aaron Brewer.
Oh, sorry. Andre Dillard.
We can talk about Andre Dillard, actually. That was a name I didn't mention because he's technically still on the team. He's not.
Oh, yeah. You're right. He's still on the
team. Let's actually talk about Andre Dillard real quick. Here's my theory. And this is, I'm going to credit my good friend Finnerty, my good friend Ryan Finnerty, they just had their baby boy Griffin. Congrats. Shout out, Ryan. He has said recently that in the last couple of years, if we get a new tackle, there should be like a bylaw or something that is in the organization that does not allow that player to wear number 71, because the number 71 has been atrocious the last few years with Dennis Daly and Andre Dillard. So hear me out. Just keep Andre Dillard 71 so no one else can get it. And there you go. And then you don't take the dead cap hit.
What I'm hearing is retire Andre Dillard's 71.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Not the ring of honor, but the ring of shame.
Yes. So that there it is. That's my theory. Keep Andre Dillard, keep 71, retire it. No one else can have it.
And I don't want to keep Andre Dillard because of his play on the field, because my goodness, it was horrible. We already are going to have $31 million in cap, dead cap. Okay. Last year we paid Bud Dupree and Julio Jones $30 million not to play for us. This year we're paying Kevin Byard and Ryan Tannehill almost $30 million not to play for us. So add $13 million of Andre Dillard in dead cap. We're approaching $40 million of dead cap. And look, I know there's teams in the NFL who are worse than that, but I just don't see how it benefits you as an organization to pay guys not to play for you. Even if they're horrible, move them to guard. Move them to swing tackle. I mean, get something out of that money. Don't just have it sitting dead on your books.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one because it really is. Is that body, is it even worth keeping around? Because it could keep somebody else talented. It could be an undrafted free agent rookie that needs to progress and, isn't being thrown into the fires of starting. But it is it's a valuable thing. And it is also so curious, and this is going to play into so much of the next couple of episodes as we go from free agency into the draft, of getting into the thinking that Bill Callahan can cure all, and that, the offensive line coach can take a pile of mush and turn him into an all pro man.
Yeah.
But, and who knows, maybe he can, but the one thing you got to say for Andre Dillard, and this goes back to why it's, a really bad signing last year, was
Andre Dillard already benefited from being under one of the best offensive line coaches in the league with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And still didn't really change him. So I think the reality is he is what he is.
Yeah.
Do you think he can play guard, Michael?
I think he'd be better suited, and he's not as exposed playing guard. I don't know that he's going to be a great guard. I just don't think his biggest weakness, which is what I find is the biggest weakness of trying to see somebody play tackle in the NFL, is his kick step and his ability to actually get and establish on the outside is he just doesn't have the athleticism to do it. So what you end up doing is you end up lunging and you end up reaching, and then you're just completely whippable at that point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's an interesting name. I think now, like I said, we can move on to,
he's really our only cut candidate, right?
I want to say when we signed Arden, when we signed Arden Key, was there a potential out? I feel like our deals last year, we had potential outs that like, DeAndre Hopkins, he's a potential one, but I don't think we will. I think back to Michael, your point about how you feel about the Titans, got to build around Will Levis. I mean, you can't get rid of someone like DeAndre Hopkins. If you have him on your books already and you just, you know, I know you might have just got him for a 1-year rental, but if we drop him, that would obviously be why we got him last year. But I think he's the guy that you keep for Will Levis. That's the kind of thing that I think DeAndre Hopkins is another name. That's just,
can we cut Farley?
You save no money, but you got to at least see he could be at any point, whatever his contract is, there is no saving of money. So it could be just to see what happens through camp. And then he may not make the final roster at that point.
And same with Treylon. We can't cut Treylon Burks.
No, you'd be in dead cap. I don't think you do that either after year two and the injury history either.
Treylon would be $8.5 million dead cap.
Jeez.
See, I would do the opposite with DeAndre Hopkins personally. I'd extend the guy.
Oh, you'd extend him?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. How long?
Would he want to do that?
I mean, he's getting older, but he showed he had plenty in the tank. And honestly, I think even if we did end up looking for another wide receiver in the draft or whatever, I think he's got more than 1 year in his tank.
And he's 32?
I think I'm not exactly sure what age he is.
Let me look that up.
I want to say that he was 31 when we had signed. Yeah,
his play style would suggest that he can last a little bit longer than the average wide receiver because he doesn't win on separation necessarily or
speed. And he doesn't take hard hits. Like he goes down. After he catches the ball.
He has a $17 million cap hit this year. I would think if you extend him, work it out, you would be able to also save on that for this year and next year. We're in an interesting position with the cap because it's not like we have a 1-year spend. We actually are structured with our contracts very well over these next couple of years. So there is some frivolous spending that we can do. And I think top to bottom, if you look at our roster, arguably there's no position group that is set. I think you could look for either depth or a immediate upgrade and starter at every single position group for us. So,
yeah. So let's.
So DeAndre, real quick, he's he turns 32 on June 6th. Other receivers in the NFL who are 31, about to be 32 before the NFL season's over: OBJ, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen,
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is 30. He'll be 31. And Tyreek Hill is 30, who will be 31 before the end of the year. So,
gotcha.
Still some highly productive players. Mike Evans just signed a 2-year, $52 million extension. Obviously, Tyreek Hill is still at the top of his game. Keenan Allen still at the top of his game.
Yeah.
And Devontae Adams is still dominant. So, I mean, those guys aren't really showing any signs of slowing down. OBJ certainly is, but. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to the same extension Mike Evans just got. 2 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
For DeAndre Hopkins.
It's very incentive based, which, you know,
I think it was like 38 guaranteed, which is, I mean, with the cap going up, that's a great deal for the Bucks.
Yeah. So, okay. So going into Michael, you kind of touched on it. You feel like you know, we're getting into kind of positions of need. Obviously the draft is coming up. The NFL Combine just happened. So I think, Michael, for you, from our conversations, you've got a lot in your mind in terms of what we want to do at seven, but just to kind of talk about it in a free agency way, I guess focusing on the offensive side of the ball, when you think of free agency and what positions we would want, I guess, do you have like your, you know, GM Michael Brown hat on right now? Are there any, what's your overview of the offensive side of the ball? You think, would it be potentially possible we just sign a bunch of cheap players at just all positions and just, I mean, it's like an overhaul of just a ton of random new players. I want to know what your thoughts are.
It's kind of, Robert touched it at the very beginning. It's hard to know what this group is going to do now because we don't have a beat on what they will do. I will say the fan in me wants them to sign one or two splashy, high-impact guys, someone like Chris Jones over Danico Autry or something like Kendall Fuller as cornerback one. Or
trade for Legarius Sneed.
Yeah, or something, you know, something splashy along those lines. And the reality is we're not going to do that because we're just not at that position in this season, I don't think, for us to really make those moves necessary. I think the more prudent thing is, because we have so many holes to fill, is signing, you know, a good number of these mid-tier guys. And arguably in Titans history, the best free agency year we had is the year that we signed Chris Hope and was it David Thornton? And we had a really long, good mid-tier depth core players, which is most likely what we're going to do. With the one exception, I would say it's been the number one priority last season, and it's remained our number one priority, and it's we have to fix the offensive line. And I think the one risk that you have going into the draft is that you can't assume that you can fix one of the main issues of the offensive line with your number seven pick. So I do think one of the splashy things from my perspective would be a versatile tackle signing of somebody like Trent Brown, where you establish that, look, no matter what, you're going to be a starting tackle. Whether that's on the left side or whether that's on the right side, we don't know yet. But we need the versatility there just to ensure that we get this thing fixed. So that would be one thing. And just looking at the way that positional value and the way that the cap is structured, it makes a little bit more sense to only overspend on, like, if for tackles, for example, only overspend on one tackle versus two or within the position groups. And that doesn't necessarily apply to my Chris Jones comment, but I think that's a part of it is we have a generational draft coming up. So they got to position themselves to take advantage of that, basically.
What about like a Tyron Smith from the Cowboys?
It's harder for me because
he's older.
He's older. The injuries, it's so like that. That to me is just as much of a gamble as Andre Dillard was last year.
The other name people are throwing out there, the Patriots, I think they're parting ways with them. But Trent Brown's also a Patriot. But the Mike Unwenu guy, Michael Unwenu, I think he was someone. He's a right tackle, so.
Yeah, he's more of a guard right tackle. And I could see that. The only problem with that is if the draft doesn't fall your way and you aren't able to really secure your left tackle, then what do?
I got the answer for you. You draft Brock Bowers. More on that to come. Give you my Brock Bowers pitch in a tight 30 seconds. I've been practicing.
For me, it still comes back. The number one thing in free agency is how do you help Will Levis? And I think you help Will Levis by – you actually give him a real offensive line.
I think center is the, like, there are quality centers out there that, whether they were dropped by their former team, I think that's like a solid. I mean, you know, you look at when we got Ben Jones in free agency that one year, he's arguably like one of the best free agency signings we've had in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, he was phenomenal. So, you look like a who is it? The guy that just got dropped by the Bills, I think Mitch Morse.
Mitch Morse.
What about Scott Williams?
my favorite center is Connor Williams, but he's the injury is a little bit of a concern because he's not going to be able to really start the season. And I say that, but I don't know. Raiden's came back in 9 months last year in a freak physical feat. So
what about the guy from the Cowboys, Tyler, is it Biadasz?
I think it's Biadasz.
Something like that. I think center and guard are the main ones that I think of. Cause I just, for some reason, you know, my heart and my, like splashy fan self wants receiver at seven, but I also just keep thinking, I don't know if he's going to be there, but I just think it's going to be Joe Alt. Maybe it just tells me like we're supposed to do Joe Alt.
It makes sense. Freak. Michael Roos, Bruce Matthews, Taylor Lewan. We draft left tackles well, as long as there's not an international pandemic going on, and we've talked to them in person. Michael, I'm shocked. In our Titans free agency discussion earlier, you didn't mention Corey Levin.
He was in my offseason GM plan last year to actually be the starting center.
I know.
He never got the shot. And I would personally still sign him to be the depth backup, but I think Corey Levin would have done a better job than Aaron Brewer did. So I would personally say, but I would have said personally, my 2023 offseason, if I'm going to tip my own cap here, was better than 2023 offseason. Because my offensive line in 2023 would have consisted of Broderick Jones at left tackle, Osiris Torrance at left guard, would have been Corey Levin as the weak spot at center, which we would be upgrading in this draft. Right guard would have been Isaac Siamalu, and then right tackle.
NPF, right?
Well, it was going to be a battle between Raidens and NPF, but knowing how it played out, it probably would have been Raidens. So we'd probably be looking maybe to upgrade. I don't know. You can have
which is what we'll do this year, right? Is have Raidens and NPF battle at right tackle.
I think actually Raidens will, I think they're going to secure tackle probably in free agency. And I think Raidens will be moved to right guard. And I do think he earned probably the shot at being a starter in this season after the end of last year.
So let's say who's your starting offensive line, Michael, game one, but insert free agent instead of a name for a position. Like, see what I mean? So you just go left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. If they're on the roster, say their name. If they're not on the roster, you could say free agent.
I still think if he's there, the prudent play is drafting a left tackle, just because the way that contracts play out, left tackle is the next most expensive position in the NFL behind quarterback. Okay. So getting one on a rookie contract is a real benefit. Having your franchise quarterback and your franchise left tackle both on rookie contracts is such a salary cap benefit for you to open a championship window. It's really hard to argue against that. So it would be, you know, let's just say Joe Alt, left tackle. Obviously, Skoronski is going to stay at left guard. That's what he was drafted for. I probably would have a free agent center. My pick would be Connor Williams, even though he couldn't start the season, but I don't view us as contending this year. So I'm okay with the slow roll of getting him in there. Right guard would be Dylan Raidens. And then right tackle would also be a free agent, whether it's Trent Brown or Michael Owinu.
Okay. So NPF's your swing tackle in that situation?
Yeah. NPF becomes your swing.
Okay. Nice. I don't know if we want to get into this right now, but if Joe Walt's not there, do you take the next? Do you take Ola just to get the left tackle drafted? Are you left tackle or bust? Or is it if Joe Alt's not there and you can't trade down and you got to pick at seven, are you sticking at left tackle?
No.
I need to find out from somebody if his hand measurement really was official coming out of the combine. Man's hands were measured at 8.5 inches. Y'all,
didn't you say you have bigger hands than him?
I instantly pulled out the ruler and I measured my hands. I am 5'11" 3/4. Let's call me 6 feet, but you know, as you get older, you start shrinking. a $1.95 here, and my hands measured at 8 3/4 inches. How are my hands bigger than this man? Like, so concerning. Anything in terms of a metric of a world-class athlete being on par with one of us is a giant fear factor for me.
I would say if Joe Alt's not there, you start to make that splash. Whether it's Brock Bowers, Roman Dunze, it's not going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. who's going to be gone. Malik Nabers, we don't have to get into it right now. Michael's not the biggest fan, but
we'll have our draft primer later.
What'd you say? Yeah, that's for a different time.
The draft is dictated by this free agency. So
yeah.
It comes down to do you want to? We're gonna spend somewhere. Do you want to spend on the offensive line, or do you want to spend somewhere else? Where do you want to spend?
My thing is, they say that this draft specifically is great for us because the two deepest positions are receiver and tackle. And to me, I just, for some reason, if it's like, I have it in my head, if it's not Joe Alt, then you can find a tackle later on, because they say, you know, tackles, it's a solid deep tackle class. And I feel like I feel like when you evaluate a position, it's more likely to be right about the depth of tackle, especially when you have someone like Bill Callahan, than it is to be right about the depth of receiver, which maybe that's not the right thought anymore, because there are more and more athletic, incredible receivers coming out every year. I mean, Tank Dell and Puka Nacua from last year are just two good examples of later round picks. Mm-hmm. So to me, I feel like you can go, I don't know, if it's not Joe Alt, then you go receiver or Brock Bowers and he's a game changer, or you trade back, get more picks, and you increase your likelihood of hitting on other deeper players. You know, I don't know. I think there could be a run at the end of the first round of receiver. I think that's another reason why I would want to go receiver instead if Joe Alt's not there. But like, we need playmakers for Levis. Unless Treylon Burks makes some miraculous surge this year. Like, I've been out on Treylon Burks since the drop he had against the Browns last year, where it was tough throw, but at the same time, you're a first round receiver. You got to catch the ball. I've been out on him for a while. And, you know, I think that maybe we'll have more of a clearer picture after free agency of what we're going to do in the draft. But like, I mean, I don't see, Calvin Ridley is an option. Marquise Brown is an option. But then you get someone like a Darnell Mooney, or you get a Tyler Boyd from the Bengals, stuff like that. Like, those are your, you know, role player receivers that you sign. All the good, solid, like elite receivers were signed and they're going back to their team. Like Brandon Ayuk, 49ers aren't going to let him go, you know? So I think, to me, the draft is where I see us getting that receiver, which is weird because I keep telling myself it's Joe Alt at 7, but then I want that receiver like a Roma Dunze. I don't know. Not really making sense, but
I'll answer your question, Michael.
I have to say, just for historical context here, and we talked about this in our text group. I looked back, and in over 30 years, the Titans have successfully drafted 4 wide receivers that did not bust. In 30 years, 4. Every other wide receiver that we have has been a bust of some form. So I still, even though it's, you know, everybody saying it's a generational draft, I still think you got to attack wide receiver in multiple ways and not just assume that you're going to get a guy and he's going to translate in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I want to spin on the lines, O-line, D-line. My hope for the Titans, I don't want to go out and get a headline left tackle. I do think the right, safe, correct thing to do is to get left tackle at 7. But I want to go get a right tackle, go get a center, and then go get another interior guy who can push Skoronski and who can push Radins. maybe even a guy who can start this year and then teach Skoronski and Radins. You know, they haven't really learned under Skoronski. Who is Skoronski seen on the interior line from a veteran standpoint that can teach him anything? And same with Dylan Radins. I mean, I know Dylan Radins has been here for 3 years and he had Ben Jones, and I don't know if he overlapped with Saffold or not, but like, he just isn't the same player as Roger Saffold. So like, they haven't had anyone on the interior line to show them the ropes, teach them how to be a veteran NFL interior offensive lineman, teach them the tricks of the trade. The offensive line coach that we had, Michael, what was he? Basically an intern, a tight end intern that we promoted last year.
Hardly. So like, well, he's back. He's back to being an assistant offensive line coach for the Bears now.
Yeah. So they've just essentially been thrown into the fire in their NFL career without anyone there to teach them how to be successful at a high level. And so I want to bring in a veteran guard, maybe not a guy you're paying big bucks for, but a guy who's been a starter at a high level, who can play minutes for us, and then also teach these guys as they become the left and right guard of the future. Then on the D line, go get a D tackle like a Christian Wilkins. Spend money on D tackle. Chris Jones
would be dirty.
Go get you a DN like a Derek Barnett, a guy who's not going to break the bank, but you know, the homecoming for Derek Barnett, who's going to bust his butt. He's going to try hard. I want the Titans to get back to dominating the lines of scrimmage, and I think a great D line helps Will Levis a lot because it'll get him back on the field and get him more reps. So we don't see teams just run it down our throat again. Jeff Simmons needs help. Bring back Danico Autry. I think that's a good move to bring him back. But Landry really started coming back into his own last year. Landry and Simmons, I mean, they need help, man. And so I say you spend on corner, and then you spend on D line and O line, and then you get your weapons in the draft on offense to grow with Will Levis, and you know, you mix and match from there. But that's kind of my approach, how I'd like to see it go down.
Couldn't say it any better.
Yeah, I obviously, you know, when you think about positions we're probably good at, quarterback, maybe you need a backup. Running back, we talked about it. If we let Derrick Henry walk, you get like a Zach Moss, or even someone like a Joe Mixon if he gets dropped by the Bengals. Obviously, familiarity with Bill Callahan. Receiver, I think that's where, yeah, Tyler Boyd, Darnell Mooney, something like that. Surely they're not that much. Tight end, I think you're, you know, you got Chig. There's plenty of tight end options over the last few days. Hayden Hurst, CJ Uzama, they both have familiarity with Bill Callahan. Too bad we missed out on a reunion of Jonnu Smith. He's going to the Dolphins. I think, you know, I would say drafting is my focus for the offensive side of the ball. Free agency is my focus for the defensive side of the ball.
So who do you want at corner?
Honestly, like, people mention, okay, cornerback is always so weird to me because you think about guys that have been like Legarius Sneed. I'm talking the subject of what
he's franchise tagged, right? We can't
correct, but there is a potential chance they're letting him do like a tag and trade to where he gets traded and then he can sign an extension. Here's my thing with that though. I would love a Legarius Sneed. He was a lockdown corner last year. But think about how many times there's been that lockdown corner 1 year, and then they go somewhere else, get signed to a big deal, and then they struggle. Alteron Verner, he left the Titans. J.C. Jackson. I think Alteron Verner is like the main one that sticks out because he left us. I think he went to the Bucks, and I don't remember him being that great. I mean, you look at like even what was his name? AJ Terrell for the Falcons last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 years ago, he was great. Last year, he really was not all that special. So cornerback is interesting because I feel like you could almost find, like, I think with Denard Wilson being our D coordinator now, you would think he's going to work with the DBs. That's what he's mainly known for. I think, Michael, you mentioned it, Kendall Fuller. He's pretty solid. I know we're big fans, you know, the No Flags Film guy, James Foster, I think is his name. He mentioned that Kendall Fuller, out of the ones the corners that were available, he was his favorite. So someone like that.
What about Chidobe Awuzie?
Yes. Okay. I'm so glad you said that name. He's actually my number one.
Former Bengals had a down year last year.
Chidobe Awuzie. He's great.
But he was a lockdown earlier in his career.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the year they beat us in the playoffs, he either tore his ACL that year and was out for the year, or he was like coming back from an injury or something against us. I think he'd be a good one. He's my number one.
Here's another one. Kenny Moore. Ooh, would it shock you to hear that Kenny Moore is only 28 years old?
I'd say that's about right.
Really? Because I would have said 35. I feel like he's been on the Colts for forever.
I thought you were – I was about to say like 28. I was thinking in my head like it maybe was a little young. I thought you were saying – you would have thought he would be younger, but I would agree.
This is going to derail just a little bit, but in the shocker of age, guess who's younger than Derrick Henry?
Just in general?
Oh, Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
No,
Todd Gurley really? Is younger.
Wow, those knees, yeah. Man.
so wild to think about. But sorry, I had to throw that in.
A guy who just got dropped by the Jags, Darius Williams. He's not too bad. I don't hate that name. And another, you know, while we're at it with DBs, Rayshon Jenkins, he was just dropped by the Jags as well. I think safety. I mean, Justin Simmons just got dropped by the Broncos today. Maybe
Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are available.
Yeah. Tre'Davious White. He has not been the same since he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. Kept getting hurt, but maybe like my thing with like the cornerback position is a guy like Tre'Davious White. If you were to tell me, like, say the whatever team signs him on like a cheaper deal because he's coming off injuries, you're a little unsure about him, it's a cheaper deal, and you tell me at like halfway through the season that Tre'Davious White is a top 10 corner in the league, like top 5 corner in the league, I wouldn't be surprised, just because you never know when that that year you just take off. And I feel like that could be the kind of direction we go. And I think Sean Murphy Bunting is another one. I've mentioned it already in this episode, but he's someone that I think you could bring back. So maybe he's like a solid option.
Adoree Jackson's available.
He is available. the second he steps foot in our facility, he's hurt.
I like Tre'Davious White because it's going to be a real risk for him with the injuries. And I think he's not going to command big money. But we don't need somebody to step in right away. I think we can take some lumps this year a little bit, as long as Will Levis does not get injured.
Yeah.
It's the only thing.
Here's what I'd like to see us do. I'd like to see us go get one of the top – whoever we identify, one of the top 5 guys, go get one of those guys to be your CB1, okay? Then, you know, bring back a Sean Murphy Bunting. I would imagine you can get Sean Murphy Bunting on a good deal, right? Am I crazy to think you can get him middle of the market?
I would think so. Okay. I mean, surely.
I want to bring 3 corners in. And in the third corner, I want him to be a former first round pick with a ton of athletic upside that our new corners coach, what's his name?
Denard Wilson. He's our defensive coordinator.
But he's great with the DBs, right? That's his calling card. Correct. Okay, yes. So here's some names for you, okay? And tell me if any of these are going to be, like, over – I'm thinking of these guys are going to be, like, on a discount with a ton of athletic ability that he can work with, okay? Jeff Okuda, C.J. Henderson, Noah Igbinoghene. All right? All 3 of those guys are former first-round picks that have not panned out. They've been busts. They all are 3 to 4 years into the NFL, but they've got elite, elite athlete profiles. Could a Denard Wilson work with those guys and unlock something?
Yeah.
You know, that maybe the other guys couldn't.
I think you're onto something. I don't hate that.
And there's probably more names in here that I haven't identified that are, you know, that fit that same profile.
I mean, Stephon Gilmore. There's Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, but he's old. 32. And he probably wants to go to a contender. He probably wouldn't pick up the phone if we called.
Yeah.
We have a couple of young corners that just aren't consistent, but both Eric Gehrer and Trey have had, they've flashed at times and then they've really given it up at times. So, but
flopped. Wasn't Eric Gehrer the one that fumbled the punt return against the Dolphins?
Yeah.
Was that Eric Gehrer? Mm-hmm. Am I thinking right?
It was.
And or was that, that could
to
have been
be fair, they grabbed his arm. I felt bad for him. Vrabel was,
that's right.
Vrabel destroyed him, but they grabbed his arm and that should have been a flag.
We ended up winning that game anyways. I think we're kind of all like, I think we're kind of in agreement for the most part.
We have so many needs. No matter what we do is going to be an upgrade. Like, I don't 100%. Think we're going to be sitting here on, you know, Wednesday night next week or Tuesday night, whenever we record, and say like, well, we really screwed ourselves. You know,
I agree.
Anyone we get, we're going to find a way to get excited about and be like, okay, I can see why they did this and this makes sense. And unless they do some like Andre Dillard stuff again.
The biggest thing I'm afraid of is we signed Calvin Ridley to a large contract because Holes, our new offensive coordinator, has familiarity with him from the Jags. And they were like, oh, this is our guy. And we've suddenly are overpaying for somebody that I'm very skeptical can continue it on while simultaneously passing on what is an amazing wide receiver class.
Yeah.
Mark, hey, I mentioned him already. Marquise Brown. Take the top off.
I don't love Marquise Brown.
He'd be cheaper.
He's soft to me. Like,
he's a deep threat.
Is Malik Nabers Marquise Brown?
No.
Sorry. Yeah, so Marquise Brown is going to just ruin Will Levis.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he will.
I don't know. I'm not sure how to defend that. I don't know.
Will Levis needs one person. There is someone out there who is going to change the trajectory of Will Levis's career. Okay? And his name is Brock Bowers. And I'm getting into this right now. All right? Let me tell you why Brock Bowers was literally made in a factory to go alongside Will Levis, and they're perfect together. Okay? Will Levis, what are his strengths? Toughness. Is interactive. What are his strengths?
Toughness.
Active arm.
Just active arm. Active physical. Arm. Okay? Bazooka.
He's got a sweet arm tattoo. That is literally a strength because it's right in his bicep.
He can extend plays. Okay. He's an athlete, powerful throws, bazooka. What are his weaknesses? All right.
Decision.
Inconsistency.
So,
accuracy, yeah.
Yep. Accuracy. Ball placement, right? Inaccuracy.
Being a D-bag.
He probably needs to improve his anticipation, right? See the field better, anticipate the windows, become more polished quarterback, and field awareness. So I listed his weaknesses: one, field awareness. Two, anticipation. Three, ball placement. Okay.
Four, D-bag.
Brock Bowers. All right. First of all, Georgia lined him up all over the field. They lined him up at the X end of the boundary. They lined him up on the backside of trips as the lone receiver. They put him on jet sweeps, and he literally took handoffs and took jet sweeps 75 yards to the house. He lined it up in the backfield as a fullback. He lined up in the backfield as a running back. All right. This man was an absolute gadget player for the Georgia for 3 years, for the best team in the country with the best athletes on the field, okay? That will help Will Levis's anticipation because he will form a phenomenal rapport with Brock Bowers all over the field. He'll learn Brock Bowers. He doesn't have to learn five different players. He can learn Brock Bowers. When is he going to cut in? When is he going to cut out? What is his move to set up the DB before he blows by him with his elite speed at 6'3", 243 pounds? So that right there, that's a match for Will Levis's weakness, okay? Field awareness, okay? Brock Bowers is more than a traditional tight end, okay? He's got unbelievable open field balance, strength, and elusiveness, unlike any tight end that we've ever seen. Okay.
Had maybe the play of the game in that semifinal college football playoff game against Ohio State where he somehow stayed up and like, do you know what play I'm talking about? To get the first down is like on a fourth down. He like contorted his body a certain way.
It's unbelievable.
Stretched the ball.
It's unbelievable. And so what better person to put on the field with Will Levis, who has to work on seeing the whole field on third down, just say, hey, Brock Bowers, throw the ball to him. He's going to get open, give him the ball on the flats, third and eight. It doesn't matter. He's going to get the first down. And not only is he going to have incredible balance and strength and elusiveness after the catch, he can take the ball to the house on the, from the 25-yard line at on third and eight. Anytime he catches the ball, he's a threat. Okay? You don't get that from the tight end position. Finally, ball placement, right? Will Levis's biggest struggle or biggest weakness, I would argue, is his ball placement. If you go watch Brock Bowers' highlight tape, you're going to see one-handed, contorted, behind-the-back catches. You're going to see him reaching down and bending his hips all the way to the ground to catch the football off the ground and keep running. I mean, the man, his catch point
he's got is insane
massive, and he has the ability and the flexibility and the he has the ability to catch the ball in really awkward positions, stay up, and then burst out of the catch, which I've never seen from a guy who's 6'3", 243 pounds. So what better guy to give to Will Levis than someone who can mitigate his errors when he throws the ball slightly behind with that cannon? Brock Bowers with those soft, strong hands snatches it from right behind and keeps running. I mean, that is literally what Will Levis needs, is a guy to make his errors mitigated. And so I'm all in on Brock Bowers. I understand Joe Alt. He's probably the right pick, but I'm kind of really hoping Joe Alt's gone so we can take Brock Bowers.
I will say one of the biggest things to help Will Levis and specifically this offensive line is having the tools to implement a quick passing game. And Brock Bowers probably is an argument for being a prime piece of making that happen.
That's very true. I said it for you when Brock Bowers is a freshman, I was like, honestly, Titans at this point in a couple years tank for Brock Bowers because holy moly, he's insane. And he's kind of forgotten a little bit because of that tightrope surgery and the ankle injury he had, which could be a concern, just saying. But I think what you just gave us, Robert, honestly, it's good to have you back. That's the passion we've been missing. And these Titans, this Titans team, and then the Vrabel era and John Robinson era, obviously before that, this, like, you see what you did to my guy, Robert? He was down and out. The passion wasn't there.
Apathy.
Now it's back with someone like Brock.
It's starting. Bowers, it's we're finding our way back. Okay. We're finding angles to where if it happens, we're just getting on board real quick. I mean,
and yeah,
turns out all Robert needed is a little Brock talk.
Little Brock talk.
Little Brock talk.
Sometimes the heart wants what the heart wants, regardless of what's right and what's wrong. Okay.
And well, turns out you can also line up Brock Bowers at left tackle.
And yes, you can. That's the only thing. You can block like a beast.
Oh, man. Well, I think we know who Robert wants at pick 7. And I think we know who Robert doesn't want the Titans to sign, at least a position. Because why would we?
Well, I think across the board, it seems like everybody here is in agreement of we really want to bolster the offensive line in free agency, and we're looking for a cornerback, and we're not looking necessarily for the weapons because in free agency, we are more excited about fixing the other sides of our team and getting weapons in the draft.
Yes. And yeah, I think that is perfect for kind of just a recap on what we just said. So, very well said. I could ramble on for 2 more minutes trying to explain that better than you and absolutely fail. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And learn from, you know, my past, just like the Titans need to learn from their past and other teams' past where you might spend too much in free agency. It's not a good thing. So we do have a lot of money. That doesn't mean we just need to blow it all and spend it. Let's be smart with it. But Robert, you've said this many times before. We're just glad we're not making those decisions. It's not my money.
It's not my money. Spend it all, baby.
happen. Yeah, okay.
Get Russell Wilson as your backup.
Russell Wilson. Spend a ton of money to make him your backup. We need a backup plan for Will Levis. I appreciate y'all coming on. I think, you know, we're excited for a free agency, the new league year starting. Just saying it right now, if Derrick Henry goes somewhere else, you can cry. That's fine. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad about it. But remember, it kind of was coming. So looking forward to free agency. And I'm hoping that the Titans can improve their team. I don't know. Anyone else have closing thoughts?
I think we got it covered.
Let the foreplay begin.
Right before the draft, baby. All righty. Well, thank y'all for listening. This is Primetime Titans. I'm JG.
I'm Robert.
I'm Michael.
And we thank y'all.
Always be a good boy. Don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.